We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's super enjoyable. I spent $100 with my initial FanDuel deposit. I turned $100 into $1,000 in 4 weeks, so that is guaranteed to hook me and screw me for the rest of my life, right?
I hope so.
I hope I'm not too late. That's the only thing I hope.
Here's what I want from you.
Yeah.
I want you to say very clearly, uninterrupted, Danny, you were right, I was wrong.
About,
that's all I want.
About what?
No. What? I want the drop.
That's too general.
I don't want to wake up Robert and Nancy. My throat's sore. Had a sore throat for a month and a half. And this is not an acoustic environment that's suitable to request this from me.
No.
I'm sorry.
Danny, you're very smart with excellent hair.
Uh-huh.
And you were right about gambling. It's awesome. I, Matt Spiegel, was wrong.
I'm sorry. No, say it. No. Say it!
Because I, for years, dealt with your good vibes, babe, my hippie sensibilities, judging my enjoyment for a little bit of extracurricular wagering activity. And so, however you'd like to, Danny.
Wendell Carter Jr. at +950 to score the first field goal of the game's a nice thought.
I was wrong, you were right. I'm stupid, you're smart. I was wrong, you were right. You're the best, I'm the worst. You're very good looking, I'm not attractive.
All right, as long as you're willing to admit that.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome back. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Spiegs did not give me what I wanted in the form of a he was wrong and I was right, but the audience knows. He's coming around for that FanDuel money. All of a sudden, he sold out, and now he's all in the gambling space. And he admits it's more fun on the dark side, baby. You're going to be betting baseball. You're going to be betting first five innings. You're going to be betting player props. You're going to be betting everything this summer. You're going to be like, you know what? Baseball's better when you have money on it.
Yeah. That just hit me really, really close to home.
Right now, you're like, oh, it's no big deal. I don't really love regular season NBA out of market anyway. You are going to be betting baseball this summer, and you will say that it improves your sport. Guaranteed.
Oh, my God. That's
guaranteed.
Heavy. Because yeah. I wouldn't. Would
it's
I?
It's going to happen.
I already played fantasy baseball. It's the same.
Yeah,
we have,
which is what I told you in 2017.
We have full season bets available over on the Bet Rivers app. Just hit the menu on the left and look for Parkins and Spiegel. That's pretty cool that our bets are over there.
Yeah.
We're going to do a home run pool as a station, a draft that almost everybody is going to be involved in. That's going to be fun. Those feel pretty close, but sitting down and betting on an actual game that I'm going to watch in a bubble does not seem like something I could live with myself and do. But you're convinced I'll get there. Huh?
You're going to be there by the third game of the season.
That's gross.
Dude, this is
No.
This is the scene in Dumb and Dumber where it's like, I bet I can get you gambled by the end of the day. No. I'll give you 3-1 odds. No. 5-1. No. 10-1. Look, you're on.
Third game of the season, no way, because the NBA season and playoffs will go well into the baseball season.
Dude,
okay?
It's not going to matter. It is not going to matter. You will be gambling on baseball games early in this baseball season. Because you will be watching and you will have your account and you'll be like, I wonder what the odds are for this, or I think this is going to happen. And then I'll be like, oh, wait, you know what? You can monetize that. And you'll be like, no way. And then you're going to watch it and you're going to love it. Guaranteed.
I remember hearing that the MLB corporate liaison with the gambling sites, who was working with the gambling sites, they were working on getting the timing down at the pitch. Like, you were going to be able to bet on the result of every single pitch. Once they get all their tech down, like result of pitch, you could bet on a strike or bet on a ball. You could just sit there and bet on every little thing for the entirety of the game. It's kind of horrifying.
You know what that place is called? Heaven. That's where you can do that. And it's coming soon. To a Wrigley Field Stadium near you.
See, they've got the deal. And who am I to stand in the way of baseball growing if that's what it needs to grow?
And it does.
You can hear those arguments being made even by the purists. You can hear those consciences being wrestled by the Ken Rosenthals and Joe Posnanskis of the world as they take fingers to keyboard and say why they're okay with gambling.
Yeah, I normally don't love slippery slope arguments, but yeah, you've gone from fantasy to season long to home run pools to by tax day, you're going to be putting in bets on games.
No.
It's a lock, but regardless.
No.
We'll mark the tape and we'll come back in a few weeks and you'll once again have to admit that I was right. But the national media is trying to sell us that the Bears are going to take the biggest of all big swings, that they are going to be the highest bidder, that it does not matter that they do not have a quarterback to send to Seattle in return for Russell Wilson, or a quarterback to send to the Texans, or a draft pick that is a clear path to a quarterback like the Jets or the Dolphins would have. They say that doesn't matter. Ryan Pace and the Bears are desperate. They are going to be the highest bidder. I haven't bought into it yet. I think that they are going to take a big swing at quarterback. I think they are going to upgrade the quarterback room. But I think it's going to be more like Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, Jimmy Garoppolo. A type like that. A clear upgrade, but not a tier one guy. You have been believing in the tier one so much so that you have conducted a research project basically to confirm your suspicions. Like, tell people about the Matt Spiegel Desperation Index.
Well, we've been talking about this over the past couple of days, and any listeners to the show will remember that the first time I brought it up, I put it into words extremely poorly. Danny, you remember, you were there, and I was talking about how people don't give up multiple ones for a quarterback, and it was like, yeah, they did that for Jay Cutler. And I was and then I was scrambling, and people were like, speaks, you know, whatever. And I realized that I was just putting it into words poorly. I think I did a better job yesterday when this concept started to take hold. And then today I was emboldened by even more people using this. Jeff Darlington of, is he ESPN now? He used to be NFL Network. He's ESPN. And he said on Pat McAfee's podcast on the Pat McAfee show that the Bears are the most desperate. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I've been saying. So I wanted to compare the Bears, Broncos, Dolphins, Falcons, 49ers, Giants, Jets, Panthers, Raiders, and Saints. 10 teams that often get mentioned here as potentially making trade offers to the Texans for Deshaun Watson or the Seahawks for Russell Wilson. And we know only four of those can make, you know, offers that the Seahawks would listen to for Russell Wilson. But you and I touched base about this. Those 10 teams, that feels correct, doesn't it? Those feel like the correct 10 teams to have measured in our desperation index.
Yeah, I think so. I think in terms of teams that are looking to upgrade a quarterback, I think there are more than that if Deshaun Watson actually became available, would make a call. But in terms of the most desperate with the best assets to give, yeah, I think that sounds right.
Okay, so then we have five categories. You ready for the categories?
I am.
Number one, lead executive tenure. How long has the GM, or the guy who makes the football decisions, been there? 1 point for each year that he's been there, up to a max of 5 points. Meaning the longer a guy's been there, perhaps the more desperate he personally feels to make something happen. And in that regard, we have the Bears and Ryan Pace at 6 years, obviously, so they max out at 5 points. Two other teams maxed out at 5 points. One is Mickey Loomis at 19 years, so that obviously doesn't fit in that way. But Chris Greer, the Dolphins, at 5 points. And then everybody else is less. John Lynch, 4 years. Dave Gettleman, 3. Joe Douglas of the Jets, 2. And on and on. So some of those guys who are new, you know, like maybe they don't have quite as much incentive to try and make a move like that happen. Imperfect, but you understand why it's one of the criteria, don't you?
Sure. I think that makes sense. I think it's one of many criterias.
Yeah.
So I don't want to. What I would say is that like John Lynch, he scores a higher number. He's been there longer, but he's also been to a Super Bowl. So like,
correct.
No one's talking about John Lynch being in any sort of job problems because I don't think that that's a perfect measurement of desperation for an executive, but I understand your point.
It's one of five for the entire franchise that we're talking about, and I think you'll hear some of the other criteria might mitigate that a little bit for you. We did the same thing for head coach, because sometimes the head coach is more involved in these things than others.
Yep.
1 point for each year, up to a max of 5. Sean Payton is the only one who maxes out at 5. Kyle Shanahan at 4, so the Niners, you know, again, maybe improperly, rating high. Matt Nagy at 3, John Gruden at 3, then Vic Fangio, Brian Flores at 2, Robert Saleh and Matt at 0, Arthur Smith at 0 in Atlanta, Matt Rhule at 1 with Carolina. And those speak to a point that I've been trying to make, that those guys are new and they've got a long, long leash. They don't have to make a move of this consequence to ensure themselves a nice, healthy 3 or 4 year run where they're given the benefit of the doubt. Right.
Yeah, and again, I think that I completely get why you framed it this way, and the NFL is just weird. They all say it's not for long, and quarterbacks, you don't get to sit quarterbacks for 3 years now to like wait to see if they can develop. You've got to play them right away, and if it doesn't work, you've got to move on. Right, like moving on from Sam Darnold with the Jets would have been unthinkable 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a guy like Matt Rhule, for example, in Carolina. Yeah, he has this long contract. They paid him a bunch of money, but he could easily say, hey, if I don't get a quarterback, I'm not going to win enough that my seat's going to get hot sooner than later, right? Like the reason why Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville is because he's going to get Trevor Lawrence. The reason Nick Saban didn't work in the NFL was because he didn't get a good quarterback. So having a quarterback is so key to coaching security that I keep going through the list, but this is interesting.
Okay.
This is all available, by the way, radio.com. It's on our Twitter pages. The team desperation index for who is most desperate to trade for a Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson type.
Yes. Your third criteria, number of years since the last playoff win. Number of years since the last playoff win for these franchises. Maxing out at 10. Okay. 10 points for the Dolphins, who haven't won a playoff game since 2000. In the year 2000. 10 points for the Raiders, who haven't won a playoff game since 2002. 10 points for the Bears and the Jets, who haven't won a playoff game since 2010. Then 9 points for the Giants, 6 for the Panthers, 5 for the Broncos, 4 for the Falcons, 1 for the Niners. So that mitigates the Lynch and Shanahan factors a little bit there, and 0 for the Saints, and that mitigates the Peyton and what's his name, Mickey Loomis factors a little bit there, right?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
So that makes some sense, right? Maxed out at 10, we weren't going to give the Dolphins 20 because it's been 20 years since they won a playoff game. But still, you're a little bit desperate if you're the Raiders, Bears, Jets, and Dolphins. It's been at least a decade since you've even won a playoff game.
I agree completely. That one makes total sense, especially because, I mean, hell, we know it here, right? I mean, George McCaskey, is he going to, when does ownership get involved? When do they get impatient? The longer it's been, they have to answer to people. They're not as proud to own their team, all of that stuff. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense.
Okay, for your fourth criteria, where are you picking in this draft? Top pick tiers, because my point has been, if you already have the number 2 pick, you you're less incentivized. And everybody has said a version of this, which obviously can be argued, but everybody's said, Kyle Brandt said a version of this. Darlington said a version of this. If you're already in position to maybe draft your guy in Zach Wilson or somebody else, you're less incentivized. So if you've got pick 1 through 5 in this draft, 0 points, pick 6 through 10, 1 point, picks 11 through 15, 2 points, and on and on. Pick 16 through 20, 3 points, etc. So that means the Saints pick up 5 points because they're not going to get a quarterback they would trust at 28. The Bears and Raiders pick up 3 points because they're not going to get a quarterback probably they would trust and hand the ball to at 20 and 17. But the Jets and Dolphins and Falcons don't get any points because they've got a top 5 pick. I think this is fair. Your thoughts on that, Danny?
I think it's fair. I think it's what's the best way? I would say this, that like I don't agree necessarily that, like, I think it makes perfect sense for a team like the Jaguars to get 0 points here. I think it makes a little less sense for the Jets to get zero. But if Zach Wilson is as good as everybody says, and he is a Pat Mahomes type, and there's nothing that if you get Trevor Lawrence, you're getting Andrew Luck. If you're getting Zach Wilson, you're getting a shot at Pat Mahomes. Okay, great. Then you want the first or the second pick. But if the third pick is Justin Fields, who is a crapshoot, like any first-round pick, or Trey Lance, or Kyle Trask, or Mac Jones, then I do think that a team like Miami would say, all right, do I want to take the third quarterback in this draft with the third pick, or, you know, Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State, or Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, or do I want to trade for a known commodity at quarterback like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? Not that Miami was on Russ's list. So I think a team like Miami or Atlanta, mm-hmm, that has a top 5 pick but doesn't have access to Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson would value, at least if I was their general manager, right? So I'm applying my own sensibilities to this.
Yes.
I would, like, if I was Atlanta, I would be much more interested in trading the 4th pick for Deshaun Watson than taking the 3rd or 4th rookie quarterback and hoping that he's good. Because
I think
that it's about a 50-50 crapshoot in the first round historically.
Well, two things. That is your own sensibilities. And the other thing is, yep, that this is just one of the criteria.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Yeah, but you asked my opinion on that criteria. Yep. I would say it's split. Like, 1 and 2, I completely agree with you. 3 and beyond, I would quibble maybe a little bit. But yeah, like you said, it's just one of many criteria.
And then your 5th criteria, do you have a guy? Like, do you have a guy who might still even develop or return to form? Like, do you have your primary starter who you might just want to keep trusting and,
sure,
building with and sticking with? So do you have your primary starter from 2020 under contract? And that answer for most of these is yes. The Raiders have Derek Carr. The Panthers have Teddy Bridgewater. The Jets have Sam Darnold. The Giants have Daniel Jones. The 49ers have Jimmy Garoppolo. It would be Nick Mullins, but we went ahead and gave them Garoppolo because they know what they have, and that's the point that we're making. The Falcons have Matt Ryan. The Dolphins have Tua, right? The Broncos have Drew Lock. I mean, those are all different situations, obviously, but you could wait and make your move next year or take this into account as you stick with your guy.
They have an answer at quarterback for this year that conceivably has upside attached to it.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the only
ones who don't
are the Saints right now with no Drew Brees, and the Bears with probably no Mitchell Trubisky. He's not under contract. All those other guys are under contract. Mitch is not even under contract right now. So could they bring him back?
You put Matt Ryan in there, right? Because, like, they at least have their answer, and he's a former MVP, and even though he's 35. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. You're right.
Right? Because they might
say...
No upside, but I
see what you're saying.
He's
not the long-term answer for the Falcons. But yes, they have a legitimate answer that no one would scoff at as their starting quarterback next year.
Correct.
Yes.
They have a first-year head coach, and they have a lot of problems, and they could say, well, let's just see what we can get out of the offense here while we're figuring everything else out, or what have you. All right, so those are the 5 factors. I feel pretty good about the 5 criteria in engaging the conversation.
So
you add up the total points from 10 to 1, the most desperate of these 10 franchises to make a deal for either Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. 10th, the Falcons. Tied for 8th, the Broncos and Panthers. You could debate that, I know, but these are the numbers. Number 7, the Niners. Number 6, the Jets. Number 5, the Giants. Number 4, the Dolphins. Number 3, the Raiders. Number 2, the Saints. And far and away, number 1, your Chicago Bears, with 28 total points on these criteria. And I promise you, as we were doing it, we were not trying to skew the criteria to fit the Bears' situation. I was trying to analytically try and make the point that I failed 2 days ago and a little bit better yesterday and hopefully a little bit better today, that the national media have also been making, that the Bears are the most desperate team.
Everything's on the table.
That's why everything's on the table for these guys.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think you succeeded. If at first you did not succeed, try. And then if you don't succeed that time, try again, except with numbers.
Yes. Yes.
No, I think you're right. I think it would be simpler to say the Bears are the most desperate because their coach and GM are on the hot seat, right? And so those guys in just a dog-eat-dog world of if we don't win this year, we're fired, so therefore they are the most desperate. I think that cuts through a lot of this stuff, right? Pace is desperate because he was almost fired this past year, so therefore he has to get it right this year.
I think that is simpler to say, and that will suffice certainly for a lot of the national guys, and it could suffice for our shorthand as we set up a question. But for what you and I do here with the listeners and really try and think about it and give full nuance to it, we end up bringing up things like the fact that they have never had a franchise quarterback. Would that matter to Russell Wilson, right? Those kinds of things. We bring up this, it's been 10 years since they won a playoff game. Those things do come up, and I suspect they come up in the conversations between Ryan Pace and the McCaskey family and Matt Nagy as well.
So let me tell you this, too. The one in there that strikes me as the outlier, as just someone who watches a ton of football, follows the league very, very closely, I don't think the Raiders would be the third most desperate team. The other ones pretty much make sense. Just because I think that they really like Derek Carr.
Yeah.
I think that they really believe that the quarterback is not the problem in Vegas.
Well, that one is skewed by the Raiders not having won a playoff game in so long. So it could be that we're valuing, maybe that one should have had a lower max points.
Yeah, because if you just think about their particular situation, they're looking at it like it's a new thing, right? They've got the new general manager. They've got the new coach. They're in the new city with the new stadium. And they have the quarterback who's still in his athletic prime. So I don't think the Raiders are looking at it in that way. Now, if the Raiders were able to get Pat Mahomes or get Deshaun Watson, like I believe that any team in the NFL would upgrade at quarterback if they could. You'd be stupid not to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, do it this way. If the Bills could trade Josh Allen for Pat Mahomes, they would, right? You'd upgrade. You'd go from the fifth best quarterback to the first. So, like, I don't think it's completely ridiculous, but I think if teams look at it as a zero or one, like a binary situation, do we have a quarterback good enough to win the Super Bowl? I think the Raiders would say yes.
Yeah, I think they would. And Mike Mayock intimated as much publicly, at least.
But I think a lot of the other teams on there, in fact, I think almost all of the other teams on there, would say no, right? The Saints don't, the Bears don't, the Giants don't, the Jets don't. The Falcons, you could argue, but Matt Ryan has not been very impressive since Kyle Shanahan left, and he clearly doesn't have a lot left in the tank. The Panthers, you'd have to have a perfect roster around Teddy Bridgewater to feel like he could be a Super Bowl-caliber quarterback. So I think that if you just looked at it, the Niners obviously would say that they do because they have one because they were there. But again, you had basically a perfect team for Jimmy Garoppolo to get there. So yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good. I think the list is like about in the order that I would make it if I just made it off the top of my head. But the Raiders would be the outlier. But I absolutely agree that the Bears are the most desperate team. So I think number one is absolutely correct.
Yeah. It's interesting. And there are probably other factors we could have put in there and done it. But I like that we now have a way to we have another version of shorthand as to why some of us think the Bears still might come up with the most. And again, the conversation might end up being the best assets versus the most assets. And not asshats, but assets, as we play asset or asshat here on 670.
I still think there's a lot of potential in that bit. Remember, we had Tim Kitzker, the NBA Jam voice guy, go, asset or asset.
Yes, we did. He's on fire. Two assets in a row. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Spectacular. We learned about something that we didn't know existed, and many of us actually have this thing that we didn't know exist. It's next on The Score.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
One of the great comeback stories in sports history, Tiger Woods' now likely last major championship after the car crash that has him recovering at Cedars-Sinai in L.A. And we've learned a lot, but not everything, about the one car crash that happened a couple of weeks back. And Spiegs, a detail in the story caught your eye, as it did mine. But tell people what we now know about the little black box that is apparently in SUVs that is not just something in the cockpits of airplanes.
I didn't know there was one. I saw the headline and the story, and we were talking about in the pre-show that the police have requested the black box from Tiger's 2021 Genesis GV80 SUV, which is a luxury model from Hyundai, and that there is an event data recorder nicknamed the black box, which we know from the plane crash history of our youth and learning about plane crashes. Not that we were in plane crashes in our youth, but
the plane crash history of our youth.
That's when I learned what a black box was. I was a kid, like, oh, there's a plane crash. Well, what did the black box say? What's a black box?
Are you trying to dance around mentioning 9/11?
No. Before that, like Lockerbie, Scotland, that one.
Sure. Yeah.
And
TWA, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
You learned about black boxes from plane crashes when you were a youth. I understand what you were trying to say, but it definitely made it sound like you were in plane crashes a lot in your youth.
Yeah, and then I was dancing around 9/11. Not that I was dancing on 9/11. Don't start that. That would be bad for anybody to think that. Shane, Tanny, Danny, did you guys know that cars had black boxes? Did you know this?
I did not. It doesn't entirely surprise me. What I was reading was that they can basically, how fast were you going? Did you hit the brakes? Did the wheel turn? Stuff like that.
Yes.
It's not like listening, right? Like a black box recording in a cockpit on an airplane is designed to be able to recount the conversation that was happening between pilot and co-pilot. Right. That is not something that is in our cars, right?
The event. Right, for the love
That'd be really
of God.
Weird. That'd be really weird.
Yeah.
If we did not know that there was a little black box inside my CRV that was all of a sudden recording my conversations. That'd be
right.
Weird.
There is. It's you bring your phone in the car, don't you?
Yeah, then it might as well be, right?
So the man's just listening at all times.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Big cell phone collecting data.
Do you guys not believe that?
No, it is. Shane, absolutely. I click yes. I click agree for all those apps that are like, do you mind if we just take everything in your life? And I'm like, sure, go ahead.
Well,
that's fine.
They're taking your data, and I believe, or data, but I don't believe that, like, right now my phone is recording what I'm saying. I believe that if someone at some sort of government agency wanted to turn my phone into a record, like a microphone in a moment, they could hack
they
in
could.
And, do, th- and do that. But I don't believe right now it's recording it so that they retroactively they could be like, what was Parkin saying at 5:35 on
Thursday?
They
can turn your phone into a recorder whenever they want.
Stop! No!
Well, but Danny, have you never had this experience that, like, you merely mention a product and then it shows up on your Google ads or your Facebook ads?
Of course I have.
Yeah.
Of course I have.
Your phone is always listening.
It's listening.
I'm not being the conspiracy guy there. I'm not trying to just be a jackass.
It is.
Your phone is always listening to what you say. It
well,
records everything.
Your car. So is your car, Shane. So therefore is your car. Actually, I don't know if your car is listening to the audio. But your phone is. But like the speakerphone conversations you're having in your car where you're talking with your agent about your boss or you're talking with somebody.
What are you saying about our boss to your agent? What does your car know?
I said your agent about your boss.
Oh, I'm saying
a lot. Man.
Yeah, I'm saying a lot.
But yeah, we all probably have one in our car. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says nearly all vehicles have black box recorders that even during the 2005 model year, 60% of those cars had boxes. And starting in 2013, event data recorders were required to store 15 different items, like the stuff you were talking about, to keep track of 15 different things. The speed up to 5 seconds before impact, whether and how much the gas pedal was pressed, so they could figure out if you like floored it into the accident, whether the brakes were applied, whether the driver's seatbelt was fastened, whether the airbags inflated, and if there was a change in forward speed. Those are like the basics of what your car is recording about you, should there be impact.
And it's used in criminal investigations, often with multi-car crashes where there could be victims because they want to determine, okay, was there reckless driving? Were they distracted? Were they on their phone? Was it negligent? Was it truly an accident? Those sort of things.
Yes. And newer cars, the newer type of situation, high-end cars, like Tigers, probably recorded the steering angle before the crash, which would show how much the driver tried to avoid it, might record how much pressure was on the brake pedal so the investigators can see how hard a driver was braking. This is freaky. I did not know any of this, frankly.
I guess I didn't know that it was that widespread, but I'd heard a little bit about like getting data from car crashes. But I never had heard it referred to as a black box. And I certainly didn't know that cars going back to 2005 would have it. You know, it's weird, man. Like, I feel guilty about it and he's okay, which is all that matters. But because of his history and because I know it's a dangerous spot on the road and all of that, it's good that there was no alcohol in his system at 7 in the morning, but I am curious what was in his system. That he was recovering from back surgery, and we know that he's been in a car crash before and been pulled over with it was Xanax and Ambien and like 5 different prescription drugs in his system. So like because of that history.
Stuff. Heavy pain
because of the history, there, yeah. Because of the one car crash, because of the time of day, like I don't know. I wonder if they are going to suppress that, or if we will ever know the results of a toxicology report from Tiger Woods in this crash, right? Because if there's no real crime, if they just could misdemeanor or an accident or whatever, and there's obviously no victim to press charges against Tiger, thankfully, right? He's in a one car crash by himself and he lived. I wonder if we'll ever know, or if he will say, like, yeah, I fell asleep at the wheel. Like, I don't know the answer to that. Like, maybe he was just going too fast on a windy road and he lost control of the car. Obviously,
maybe it's possible. Maybe he was looking down at his phone like we've all done sometimes in a dangerous way. Of course.
Yeah, maybe. But just I don't think it's inappropriate to ask or wonder, given his history, was some sort of medicinal substance a contributing factor? And it's possible, just based on how they talked about it, like going over the median, the speed of it, and the possibility of no brakes being hit based on how far the car went off the road. Like,
yeah,
man, I wonder if Tiger Woods fell asleep at the wheel. It's scary. It's really, really scary. He's very, very lucky to be alive.
100%. I wonder, you think if I plug in the phone to Bluetooth, Shane, Tanny, you think, guys, if we plug in the phone to Bluetooth, then the phone already knows all. At that point, does the car also know all? Like, are the car and the phone talking about me, essentially?
I would say no.
Okay. I hope not. What's the weirdest thing that you've ever, like, been served an ad for? Because I've noticed that if I haven't bought my Ben & Jerry's half-baked ice cream in a while, it's like it hasn't shown up on the credit card bill that I'll get an ad for Ben & Jerry's half-baked ice cream. And I'll be like, damn, they're right. I need to add that to the next grocery store.
See,
run.
That's not creepy to me because your payment information is hooked up to your phone and they can get that kind of stuff. What's creepy to me, I was making chicken tikka masala a couple months ago and I said the word turmeric out loud. About 10 minutes later, I had an ad on my Instagram stories for turmeric pills.
That's
I didn't buy turmeric. I had it already. 10 minutes later, turmeric pills.
You yeah, hadn't searched it?
No,
you hadn't
no,
Googled it?
No. The recipe's in my head. There was no Googling of turmeric.
Okay.
We have to do something about big turmeric's influence
yeah,
on the tech companies.
I've been saying.
Man, I've been
but
using...
Seriously, it's scary, though.
Yeah, it is scary. Well, I'm sure that on your Instagram, if they asked you when you were installed the app, they
Doesn't
asked
matter.
You... Would you like us to do this? Do you mind if we do that? And you're like, whatever, just do what
I
you
would
do.
Say. Okay. No, I don't mind, but they don't care. I mean, yes, I do mind, but they don't care. They don't care.
They're going to figure out another way. Because if you didn't do it on Instagram, you'd have to do it on Google and Facebook and Twitter and all of those sites. Like our digital footprint is such that our data is being collected
right.
and shared.
And their partners, like Instagram is obviously their partners with Facebook where you might have said yes. Or, you know, like all those different apps, if they work together, then they can, you probably said yes to apps sharing it across their other apps at some point.
No, it's if your credit card is linked online to any account, you have a lot of stuff out there. And then if you're on a social media channel, it's another layer. And then if you use Google, it's another layer. So, it's a problem.
Couple of textures with some thoughts. Number one, my car thinks I'm an idiot for listening to this show every day. That's probably
true. Yeah, that's
now,
fair.
And this other one, Parkins, you should get the black box in your car checked. See if it matches Steph's story about getting stuck in the snow at the nail salon when Johnny Soy Latte took care of business.
It's not a terrible idea, honestly. So the black box in the car could be verifying stories. I could see how that would be dangerous for other people, but in this case, it would be beneficial for me. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I like it. I'm fine with my car knowing what I'm doing. I got nothing to hide in the car.
Hey, if you got nothing to hide, you know, then you're okay. The phone, you're a little more worried about.
Well, just because it could be, they sell the data. I don't think Honda or Toyota or Buick or whatever. I don't think they're selling the data. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm naive for saying that. But you know what I mean?
They're selling it to insurance companies, is what they're doing. So insurance companies know how to charge for premiums and stuff like that.
God,
we're screwed, man. You guys should all just become libertarians.
That doesn't solve the problem.
If there are enough of us,
I think it makes Shane. It does make Shane feel better, though. That it solves that problem, which is a big problem that a lot of people are concerned about and have been for a while.
Yeah, one day we'll spend some time deconstructing the logic of the libertarian, but today will not be that day. It's one last thing for your questions next on The Score.
It's time for one last thing.
That is the $1.5 billion question.
I just want to ask you. One question.
That's a general answer to a general question.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
You know, there's times where I don't want to answer your guys' dumb questions.
I just want to ask you. One question.
What do you think about verb?
It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Jesus.
I just want to ask you. One question.
I respect the question and I totally get why you're asking it, but.
I just want to ask you. One question.
One of the biggest questions that people will ask in these type of situations.
I just want to ask you. One question.
One last thing with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Bears All Access coming up. Thanks for hanging out. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. Hang out in our Twitch chat. Just search 670 The Score on Twitch. Great conversations going on there. Sometimes they're just conversations, but oftentimes they're
wild
great.
Day today in the Twitch chat.
Really? Oh, I missed it. I wasn't on there today.
There's one guy saying nobody should get their tax return. It's been a wild day.
not the greatest endorsement for the Twitch chat today, if I'm being totally honest, but they can do better tomorrow. We all could do better tomorrow. That's always a goal. But you can either Twitch your questions for one last thing or text them. Shane, what questions we have today?
From Wingit21 on Twitch, Danny, how did Steph like the Pat Tomasulo segment?
She liked it. She said she smiled like a real cheese ball when he said, "Hi, Stephanie." And so, yeah, she was like, "I just think that we could be friends. Like, why don't we should double date after COVID?" And she was like, "You guys had a great rapport on the air." She was totally smitten with Pat Tomasulo, which I'm sure would not make it at all awkward for her or me or them if we ever did double date. But, yeah, she's got a crush on the WGN morning sports guy. been asking me to get him on the show ever since we moved to Chicago and she saw him on TV. So, yeah, we'll have him on the show again. I don't know if we will be ever double dating, but yeah, she really liked it.
Doug in Evergreen Park, our guy Audio ID Kid, or is it Audio ID Kid or Audioid Kid?
I think you're right. First one.
Audio ID kid. Okay.
I think so.
He said he's got a fast today and tomorrow for a common procedure he's having done. What should be the first thing he eats when it's over?
A bagel. A bagel from New York Bagel and Bialy, or one of the places that gets their bagels from New York Bagel and Bialy. First thing that came to mind, since I have one on a plate next to me right here, right now.
It's like a cheeseburger. Just like a cheeseburger with whatever you want on it.
Two-day fast, that would wreak havoc on your system, don't you think? At least a bagel with like butter or like cream cheese would be smoother, easier after 2 days.
I did three-day juice cleanse one time and accidentally had a South Loop Club burger with the fried onion strings on it as my first meal.
Yeah.
Not a great idea. So, Speegs, yes, you're correct. No right? cheeseburger.
Something a little more plain. Give
I never factor that in. I just want to be, if I'm hungry, I just want to be full. And so, yeah, I just go for gluttony.
What's right on your there. Bagel, Speegs?
Just a little butter. I can't believe it's not butter, which they've rebranded as vegan. But if I had more time, I'd put tomato and onion on it.
What a vegan.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. This guy's quit cream cheese on us after making a huge cream cheese over guacamole argument.
Yeah.
Nobody likes a quitter.
I miss cream cheese. I really do.
I bet you do. Uh-huh. I bet you do.
Parkins,
you get
Mike's
it back, by the way.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying. He misses it, but he could get it back.
Go ahead, Danny. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tanny.
Love Zoom.
Need to wrap.
Parkins mic stand for Pat Mahomes. How was your day? I don't think he's here.
Nobody has questions for Bane? What's up with that?
No.
Not a single question for Bane.
No.
Hey, Bane, what are you watching on Netflix tonight? Is he here?
Tonight, I will be watching The Lady and the Dale on HBO Episode 4, The Guilty Flip. People of Gotham, check it out.
You know, Bane, I can tell you, that one wasn't very good, but my suggestion, there's a show called Glory Holes, where they just blow glass. They make things out of glass. I love the show Glory Holes.
Glass Blowers of Gotham, check out Blown Away is the show that Shane is looking for. It's in the dark.
It's very dark.
Be direct.
I can't believe people listen to this show.
For now they do.
They pay us. We just signed new contracts. We're going to be here a while. What a terrible mistake.
Hey, come on. We came up with the QB Desperation Index.
I'm just kidding.
We talked to Kyle Brandt. We broke down the Bulls with Big Dave. We accomplished things today.
We talked to someone who is in a scene with Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. That was exciting.
Yeah.
We get Pat Mahomes on the show on a whim. No, you know what? You're right. They should pay us more to do this longer. That's frankly what I think. So those were our guests on the radio program today. Like I said, Bears All Access is coming up. Thank you to Brian Gertz, who's running the Twitch chat. He should get hazard pay. For today's work, Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Bears All Access coming up for Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Happy anniversary to my wife, by the way. Happy birthday, Mike. Close enough. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
It's over, man. It's over. It's all gone. It's all over. It's all over, man. All over. Enjoy. All the slack jawing's over. It's over.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.